Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome. Oh,
and
that's
then,
it.
How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about, love that one.
Half the coaches in the league. The Mondays were the worst. And that's when you really got tested, when you came off a tough loss. You got into the office on Monday. You found out two more players were hurt. You didn't realize. The sky's always falling in the NFL on Mondays.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, it,
why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah,
you know.
720 WGN. It is the Jim Bob Show game day edition, heard here and on great stations all around the country. And when it comes to great radio, obviously Jim Bob Morris is involved when it comes to great weather. That is what he excels in as well, in calling us from his palatial estate in Florida, not too far from a lot of action on the sports side, the politics side, and certainly on the good weather side. It's the one and only Jim Bob Morris. Jim Bob, it's the Jim Bob Show.
How are you, buddy? What's going on, my friend? I tell you what, I have made some wonderful decisions. One of the great decisions yesterday was to follow Jake Knapp around as he shot a 59. I got to tell you, what an amazing round he had. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it was just incredible to watch a 59 being shot at a PGA event yesterday. And because I'm having to do this show with you, I'm going to be late getting there for lunch. But that's okay. It's worth informing everybody, Dane.
You're letting us live vicariously along with you. One of the things, and talk about this, because you've been at many different PGA events, of course, the Masters multiple times. One of the things that people say is that it's one thing to watch it on TV, but to see just how good these guys are consistently in person is special.
It really is. I agree with you. Is that when you see it in person and you see some of the shots, I mean, you just marvel at them. I mean, shots that I look at, I go, yeah, that's I could get down in about four from there. And then the next thing you know, they're down in two. You know, I mean, it really is. It's like going to the CMA Awards and you're sitting in there and you're watching the performers on, and then somebody like Staples comes up and belts a hit, and you go, God, they're so, I mean, all in Nashville, they're so talented, but there really is, you know, you can tell when the really good ones come around. And yesterday, Jake Knapp was really, really one of the good ones. And what a great kid. It was a fantastic story yesterday.
So the Winter West Wing for the Jim Bob Show and the palatial estate we mentioned is right down where you are, but also it is the home base for a legend in the golfing world, in sports world in general, Jack Nicklaus. And that's pretty cool too, right? Because when you get to spend some time with, one of the all-time greats, maybe the greatest, right? That's cool.
I tell you what, I love Jack. I love Barbara. I love his whole family. Charlie's been great to me. Gary's been great. Jackie's been great. They're just a wonderful, wonderful family and just great people. We've supported their charities, and we're going to be, you know, in the Jack Nicklaus and the Barbara Hospital Wing suite today as we take on another rugged day for me of watching just great golf. What I do, Dane, I'm making sacrifices for everybody to report.
Oh, it is a rugged day for you. There will be some walking. They'll be walking, running, maybe some 40-yard dashes happening up in Indianapolis as the NFL Combine happens for this. And, of course, people know the background in the USFL and in the NFL and all that anticipation, hoping for, you know, some time in the league. And for a lot of players, there's a lot riding on this. You know, not everybody is automatically in with some great highlight reels. Some people are looking to make their mark at the combine.
Yeah, you know, you can do it with speed. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, I clocked my best time in the 40 was a 4.5. Later in my career, it was 4.7. You know, I mean, those 22 surgeries will take a toll on you. But, you know, you can still play in the NFL running a 4.7, even at safety. I mean, I wouldn't advise it at cornerback. I mean, I think Everson Walls was the last guy to clock a 4.7 that we had as a starting cornerback, and he was all pro and fantastic for the Dallas Cowboys. But, boy, I tell you what, I love the combine. And as you know, El Bandito Yankee and Juan Parlay, and we're going to take the show to, NFL draft this year in Green Bay, which is going to be a lot of fun for us to see, you know, the results of those guys in Indianapolis. Indianapolis today, see what that turns into. And it turns into gold. It turns into platinum. It turns into legacy wealth if you stay sharp. But you got some guys that are going to be rich beyond rich if they do the right things.
Well, Jim Bob, are there any surprises anymore? I mean, with media and with everything going on and all of the sizzle reels and social media and just all the scouting that can happen online, you know, it seems like the coaches and the scouts pretty much have a good idea of who is good and who is coming. Can people surprise people? Remember you and I talking with Don Beebe? He ran out there. I think he had like Sperry boat shoes on and ran a 4.2, right? Certainly surprised some things, but does that happen today?
Yeah, it still does. I mean, I'll tell you what, it's getting less, and I'll tell you why it's getting less. But yes, to answer your question, there are still surprises. But what happens today with the portal? So you're a Division II player, and you basically turn out and turn it on. Well, the Division I school see that. You enter the portal, they pick you up. And so what happens now, if you're not in a Power League 4 and you're in another, you know, lower conference and you're turning it out, well, those power teams, they see that, they pick you up. And so it's getting harder to be unrecognized. And basically, sometimes, you know, if you stay with the university and you stay with your team and, you know, you end up 2-11, people generally don't look at those teams and those players are 2-11, you know, as a record. And so it's really something that you've got to, you really have to work on it today to not be recognized because of the portal situation and everything that's moving in college football. You know, you keep moving up in game rank and so forth and league rank and player rank. They see you, they spot you, you're in the portal, you know, you get picked up. And so then, you know, the next step is, you know, did the NFL miss you somehow? And yeah, that still happens. I mean, not very often, but yeah, it still happens. I mean, Beebe's a great example. Sam Mills is a great example. Zach Thomas is a great example of guys who scouts never could play, never could make it. They're 5'9", 220. Well, they end up being Hall of Famers.
Yeah. Well, it's an extra opportunity to go ahead and prove yourself and hopefully in the very near future find yourself on stage or somewhere in the mix at the NFL draft, and that is at Green Bay. And before we go to the next segment, Jim Bob, let's talk about it. We bagged a little bit, maybe a lot, on Detroit because, you know, how do they choose these cities that no one would want to go to if you didn't have this event? People love to go to Green Bay, certainly an incredible NFL legacy there, but infrastructure-wise, you really wonder. I don't even know if you wonder. I think you can just decide that typically on paper, as a draft pick for an NFL draft city, Green Bay doesn't have what it takes, but do they have what it takes? And what do you think is going to happen up there?
Well, that's a great question. You know, we're going to be there. I mean, I think we've got 4 different residencies that we started on a year ago. So everybody could have something like, say, we're going to bring in RVs. I mean, it's like the Super Bowl at Jacksonville, Florida, where they had to bring in cruise ships so there'd be enough places for people to stay for the Super Bowl. That's ridiculous. I mean, but the infrastructure's not there for the crowd. I mean, you know, last year, you know, we were there in Detroit and they had roughly 250,000-300,000 people. And then the year before, you know, we had the Kansas City draft. I mean, we were 500,000 people. I mean, hey, Vegas, the draft in Vegas. I mean, like I told you, when I went to the Super Bowl at Las Vegas, everybody said that it was going to be just impossible to navigate. It was the easiest Super Bowl I've ever been to, and I've been to a lot of them. And it was easy access in, easy access out. It was a fantastic. I think the draft there in Las Vegas is going to be fantastic. And Green Bay, listen, you don't have a room right now. You're going to be driving from someplace, possibly Chicago, every day to get up there. I mean, you know, there's just no infrastructure to support. You know, game day, you know, we've got 78,000 people coming in the stadium. Probably got a couple thousand more that just come to the game and want to tailgate. So you got 80,000 plus, and I can tell you that, you know, you're stretched to the limits in regards to hotel accommodations there in Green Bay for game day. And so draft is going to be super stretched. You'll have people coming in from, you know, 100-mile radius outside of Green Bay. So that part's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
As far as everything else, I will tell you, the moment that I stepped onto Lambeau is, and I'm a, you know, a traditionalist, I'm a purist, is that my heart swelled because it was like, Wow. It was sacred ground to me. I treated it as sacred ground. I mean, they didn't know it, but I would have played for free, and I practically did. So, but the reality of it is that it was just, it's something special. Lambeau is so rich in history and tradition. And if you don't know about it, you know, do yourself and study that. It's the same thing with Soldier Field, was so rich in tradition and history, and it's meaningful. So, yes, that's going to be special for the fans to see the city of Green Bay and the fact that, wow, how does this support an NFL franchise? People that have never been there before are going to look at it and go, wow. I mean, you know, that's really what happens. It is such an anomaly to have this franchise, and the success that the franchise has had over its course of history is amazing. So there's a lot of historical relevance there in Green Bay, and I hope the fans that come in there really appreciate it. And Dane, you know, Green Bay, it's so unique. I mean, it's unique both as a town and a home to the Green Bay Packers. I mean, it's the smallest market in sports. I mean, by far. It's the smallest city in the U.S. with a major professional sports team. I think the population when I was there was like 78,000. Yeah. I mean, today I think the town's around 107,000, and it's just unheard of for a city this small to sustain an NFL franchise. But despite its size, the Packers have been one of the, you know, the Packers and the fans, the most passionate and widespread fan base in all of sports. That's why I loved going there. And the other uniqueness is community-owned team. It's a one-of-a-kind in pro sports. I mean, I hope everybody knows this, but the Green Bay Packers are one of the only public-owned teams in major professional sports. I believe that's going to change with some of the rules that are being made and so forth. But, you know, the team is run by, you know, there's 537,000 shareholders have bought non-tradable stock in the franchise. And so this type of model just ensures that the team can never be relocated, you know, making it one of the most stable franchises in sports ever. And then, you know, like I said, the history and the legacy, when I stepped on there, man, it was like, wow. It was sacred ground to me.
We know that the tradition will be there. The NFL, there'll be a ton of alumni there. There's going to be great events. I know that will be great. It's a bucket list location for sports fans of any time when it comes to the amenities and the side things. The draft is extended. It's a few days. Of course, Olive Garden will be there for your fine dining options. And we are doing our part at El Bandito Yankee. We're going to have a Gridiron Greats cigar event. We're going to be part of multiple tailgates. We're going to do what we can for those people to entertain them and help them to win, right? Regardless if your team gets the right draft pick or maybe they pick someone that you hate, you always win with the undefeated flavor of El Bandito Yankee. We're going to take a quick break and be right back on the Jim Bob Show Game Day Edition.